How's everybody doing this morning? Awesome, awesome. Just want to continue to say what a great day this is. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, and letting you all know that today is a difficult day for some people, either mothers who have lost children or who have estranged relationships with their children, or children who have estranged relationships with their mother, or couples struggling with infertility, or whatever it is. This is a great day and a tough day, and so we welcome everyone, and your situation is known to God, and He is working as we speak. We have faith in that. Amen. So we are in a series called Visible. We're going through the fruit of the Spirit. We started 3 weeks ago with love, and then we went to joy, and then last week we talked about peace, and today we're talking about all of our favorite one, patience. All right? Probably the greatest commentator on humanity in my generation was cartoonist Bill Watterson with Calvin and Hobbes. And no one illustrates the bratty kid who wants his way inside of us better than Calvin. Now, let me draw your attention here. Calvin says, "I've been disempowered. My centering self-actualizing anima has been impacted by toxic codependent dysfunctionality." Mom says, "You've been temporarily inconvenienced. Take out the trash." And Calvin says, "Are you saying there's a difference?" What a brilliant commentary on us as people. Do you know, people, the difference between being disempowered and having your anima, whatever, toxic, codependent, dysfunction, and being temporarily inconvenienced? Do you know the difference? Because most of us in America don't. We look a lot more like Calvin in the first phrase than the mom in the second frame. I saw an interesting study about people's online habits. Check this out. This is great. What drew my eye was a report from the internet service providers about videos. If you click on a video, how long will people wait for it to load before leaving and going elsewhere? Check this out. The study showed that the video took more than 5 seconds to load, one quarter of the people have already exited out and moved elsewhere. If the wait time went to 8 seconds, two-thirds had left. Only one-third of people will wait more than 8 seconds for a video to load on the internet. 8 seconds. Well, people ain't got that kind of time? I mean, seriously. There's been a great deal of research recently on impatience and the health risks associated with it. Check this out. According to research by London-based Center for Economic Policy, they found that impatience was linked to several things. First of all, the obvious one, impatience was linked to hypertension, high blood pressure. But it is also linked with obesity. The researchers found that impatient individuals were more likely to be obese than people who were good at waiting. In some areas, the researchers concluded, inexpensive fast food is easily available at all times of the day, and many impatient people can't resist the temptation. They found it was linked with alcohol abuse and violence. Impatient people were more likely to be involved in late-night drink-fueled violence, they found. Pew Research Center found that impatient people often make quick, shallow choices. Well, that's a big shocker there, isn't it? They said impatience will cost you. It can cost you money, friendships, pain and suffering, or any number of consequences, because impatience is often followed by bad decisions. Is there anybody who doesn't know that? Is that groundbreaking research here? All right. Impatience has been linked with higher debt levels, says Research Review. For example, impatient newlyweds may want to have all the comforts of a home soon after the wedding, despite limited finances. So they buy the house, the furniture, the car, and everything else on credit, the researchers say. University of Arkansas researchers say that newly married couples who bring debt into their marriage are less happy than couples who bring little to no debt into marriage. And even this is the big one. The 2008 Great Recession, some experts argue, was caused by impatience of people taking out subprime mortgages, wanting property they couldn't afford. Wow. Impatient people, says mental health professional Dr. Jennifer Hartstein, have trouble making and keeping friends. Impatience with friends' mistakes, she says, or flaws tends to drive people away. To say that we have a problem with patience is an understatement. But I didn't realize how big it really was until I started researching this. Does God have the answer for this plague of impatience? Well, actually, he does. He really does. Patience is the definition of patience is the capacity to accept delay, trouble, or suffering without getting upset or angry. Okay, I want you to say that with me. The capacity to accept delay, say delay. Delay, trouble, or suffering without getting upset or angry. That's what patience is. And when we look around, the Bible tells us, it's amazing, the Bible tells us, don't look at people. Don't be impatient with God. Don't be impatient with your faith, because a lot of times we look around and we see what looks like people, you know, succeeding that are not doing things God's way. And the Bible in Psalm 37, 1 through 8 says this, "Do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong, for like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, it will soon die away. Be still before the Lord," the Bible says, "and wait patiently for him." Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil, the Bible says. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. The Bible tells us we need to be patient and not act rashly when we see the success, the temporary success of evil people. Don't envy them. Don't imitate them, the Bible is saying, because they're going to be destroyed. That's what the Bible says. We have to be patient. And I never realized this. I've read Jesus' parables more times than I can count, and I truly believe this, that the most famous parable Jesus told, the story of the prodigal son, is a story about patience. Check this out, all right? In Luke chapter 15, 11 through 31, Jesus tells us this amazing story, this parable of the prodigal son. If you've never heard it, here it is in a nutshell. A father has two sons. They're working the farm. They're doing great. It's a good thing. The younger son decides he doesn't want to wait for his inheritance. He said, "Give me my inheritance now." So the father gives him his inheritance. He sets off. He completely wastes it in wild living. And then he hits rock bottom. He's got no food, he's got no friends, he's got nothing, and he comes to his senses, and he realizes how good he had it back home, and he sets out back home, and the father welcomes him with open arms. That's the story, in a nutshell. If you've never heard it, that's the story of the prodigal son. But check this out. We learn about the impatient heart from the prodigal son. Check this out. The first thing we learn is that the impatient heart is entitled. Everyone say entitled. Entitled, okay? Luke 15, verse 12 through 13, the younger son once said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living, okay? It is entitled. Entitlement drives impatience. The feeling that you are owed something, the feeling that you are going to inherit something or something is in your future that is good and you got to have it now. That is what is known as entitlement. Feeling like you deserve what you're not getting, that you're owed something by someone. And I never really thought about this before, but impatience is a huge driver of sin in our lives. It is a huge driver of sin in our lives. Let's just look around us. Why do couples have premarital sex? They don't want to wait for what's theirs in the future. God has promised them, you get married, you can have all the sex you want for the rest of your life. It's out there in your future. But no, instead of being patient, instead of waiting on God's plan, instead of God's waiting on God's will, the blessing of doing things God's way, gotta have it now. And we see where that impatience has gotten us as a society, haven't we? In 2017, 41% of children in America were born outside of wedlock, 41%. In 1960, get this, it was 7%. You guys, look at this. 36.5% of single-parent households live in poverty, as opposed to 6.4% of married households. That's research from 2017. Children who grow up in poverty are three times as likely to drop out of school, commit crimes, be the victim of a crime. Children who grew up with fathers, next one, are 5 times as likely to live in poverty and commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, and 20 times more likely to end up in prison. And whenever I say things like this, you all, I always get pushback. Oh, you're criticizing single mothers. You're bashing, being mean to the kids. No, listen, please hear this. Jesus, who is my hero, was conceived outside of wedlock. The Holy Spirit and Mary were not married, okay? They weren't married. And Jesus was born to unmarried parents. The hero of the Christian faith it grew up in these circumstances. Okay, so please understand that I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to say anything against anyone. We love single mothers. We love single fathers. We know how hard it is, and that's why we want to be your family. We're glad that you're here. But here's the truth. This is what our impatience with God's will has gotten us, you guys. If we don't speak the truth, we will never see any solutions to the problems. Okay? The impatient heart feels entitled. In fact, sociologists have shown us that 3 factors separate people who are doing very, very well in society and people that are having a hard time. And they all have to do with being patient. Check this out. 3 things is what sociologists have said. If you finish high school, you get your degree. If you wait until marriage to have children, and if you get a job and you keep a job, those 3 things, sociologists say, will guarantee you a decent life, at least a middle-class life here in America. But all 3 of those things take patience. It takes patience to finish school and get your degree. It takes patience to wait to have children until you're married and have that father and mother together raising the child. And it takes patience to keep a job. And impatience has driven those things away from us. Impatience, feeling entitled to things before you've earned them, will wreck your life like nothing else. Okay, impatience. Why do people go into credit card debt? Why do people go into credit card debt? They don't want to wait for the ability to pay for it. We got to have it now. And that feeling of impatience drives us to do the dumbest things financially we've ever done. Credit card debt is at an all-time high right now. In 2018, get this, 2018, Americans paid $113 billion in interest. That's not principal, that's interest that Americans paid. Americans are on track to pay $122 billion in interest this year. Total revolving credit balances right now equal $1.03 trillion. Americans are $1.03 trillion in credit card debt. I can't even count that high. Why? Well, why are we that way? Well, impatience, because we've got to have it now. Okay, how the impatient heart is entitled. I deserve to have the things I see on TV. I deserve to have the things that my neighbors have. I deserve to live like my parents live, even though they've been working 40 more years than I have, and they've saved, and they're living like that. They didn't live like that when they're my age, but I got to live that way now. And the impatient heart says, I deserve it. No, you don't. I'm entitled to it. No, you're not. I gotta have it. No, you don't. Patience, people. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring a sense of patience to you. Throttle that impulse that you gotta have it now and live patiently. Wait. Why do people date and marry the wrong person? I see it as a pastor all the time. We don't want to wait for God's purposes and will. They want a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a spouse now. And I've even heard people say, he or she is not right for me, but it's better than being alone. No, it's not. Patience. Wait for the right person. How much pain have we inflicted on ourselves because of impatience? The prodigal son had an inheritance coming, didn't he? He had an inheritance coming. And it was his. It wasn't going anywhere. In the meantime, he had it really good. He was second in command on the farm. They had a thriving business, apparently. Plenty of food. He had a roof over his head. They had servants. And he really had a good father, we find out later in the story. And so a good father leading a household, I bet it was a great place to live. With a grace-filled, understanding father, I bet that was a great place to live. And yet impatience destroyed all of that, didn't it? He wanted his future now. Your feelings of entitlement will cause you, it will drive you to make the dumbest decisions that you have ever made. They will cause you to commit sins. They destroy your future, your faith, the people around you. And I would imagine if you reflect over your life, if you were to really look over your life, I would imagine in your most honest moments that you would realize, like I have realized, that impatience has driven your worst mistakes in life. The impatient heart is entitled. The second thing, the impatient heart is illogical. Everybody say illogical. Illogical, okay? Luke 15, 14. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. He began to be in need. His impatient heart was blinded to his true situation, what was really going on. The same thing that may be happening to you right now. All right? Think about it. If you have no income and you're spending recklessly, what is going to happen soon? You're going to be bankrupt, right? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out, but this guy couldn't see it. Why? Because the impatient heart is illogical. It's blinded. All right, impatience blinds you to reality. He blew all the old man's money in wild living. In other words, he wanted a party. Now, I'm going to speak to the Christians in here. Christians, I know there are people who are not Christians in here, and we're glad you're here. It's my prayer that by the end of this service, you will join me in my Christian faith. But I'm going to speak to the Christians right now. What does our faith tell us is in our future? A party known as heaven. Okay, a party known as heaven is in our future with no pain, no sorrow, no debt, no cancer, no death, no bullying, no drama, no gossip, nothing. Nothing but a party, a total party waiting for us in heaven. All right, better than you've ever seen or heard or done. You heard about the guy who was having heart trouble and went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, you got to cut out steak and you got to cut out garlic bread and sugar and sweets and everything like that, and we got to put you on a healthy diet. So his wife every morning takes away the bacon and eggs, and he's eating bran muffins and kale. And does that for about 15 years, and he and his wife die and they go to heaven, and St. Peter ushers them into this big room. And there in the big room is a banquet going on as far as the eye can see, with steak, garlic bread, you know, chili, pasta, sweets, chocolate, you know, whatever. And the guy says, what's this? And St. Peter says, it's the banquet, it's the party, man, eat up. And the guy says, well, are you serious? We can eat all of this? What about our health? And he goes, hey, this is heaven. You don't have any bad health anymore. You can eat everything you want. And the guy just starts to cry. And his wife says, why are you crying? He says, well, it wasn't for your stupid bran muffins and kale. We could have been here 15 years ago. You know? There's a party waiting for us, people. There's a party waiting for us in heaven. But what impatience will make us do is we want that now. And what happens when we are illogical like that and we want the party now, Satan comes along and says, I got something almost as good. It's not the real thing, but you can have it now. And so we go after the party that we can have now. See, impatience, and I don't know how it happens, y'all, how Satan gets us to do it. Either he's brilliant or we're really dumb. But he gets us to substitute something fake and cheap when we could have the real thing. See, this is what Satan does. He understands our impatience. He understands it thoroughly. So he will always try to get you to substitute what you want most for what you can have now. See, guys, there's some physiological changes that goes on in your brain when you are tempted. When you want the party now, when you want the thing now, when impatience takes over, things go on in your brain physiologically. Two things. Well, actually, one thing, your brain starts lying to you. Starts lying to you. It starts telling you things that aren't true. Your brain does this. The first thing it does is that a thing called what's called impact bias. Say impact bias. The object of your affection swells up and it becomes, in your mind starts telling you that it's going to be greater, that it's going to be more wonderful, it's going to be better and more fulfilling than it actually is, okay? The party, the prodigal son was looking at the distant land. He goes, oh man, over there, there's no work to be done. Over there, they got food, they got parties, all the girls are great, and all these people, they'll have my back when I'm down. They'll help me out. They'll be there for me. Yeah, your brain's lying to you. But the prodigal son's brain, because of impact bias, started lying to him. And he looked over there and he says, it's going to be so much better than it actually is. Understand this, because Satan understands this about you. You need to understand this about you. So when you're tempted to have to have it now, men, your brain lies to you. You imagine that girl at work is better looking and more fun than she actually is. Your object of your temptation swells up, promising more than it ever deliver. People, that the car that you can't afford, it swells up. It's going to be better. It's going to be more satisfying. It's going to get you more looks. You're just going to love it so much more. And when reality hits the next day, you have buyer's remorse. What was I thinking? True? Impact bias is real. The second thing that happens is a thing called focalism. Everybody say focalism. Focalism, and reality blurs out the other stuff. You're tempted, with the prodigal son, he saw impact bias. He saw the party that was over there in that distant land, and the great deal he had, his inheritance, his father, his the work, the great life that he has here on the farm, just blurred out, and he couldn't see it. And that's what's going to happen to you too. See, the impatient heart is illogical, and the impatient person's favorite phrase is, what was I thinking? When reality hits, and that's exactly what the prodigal son finds out that, what was I thinking? I came over here, I thought this was going to be so great and everything, and no one's given me anything. I'm broke, I'm destitute, and all these people I thought would have my back don't have my back. Why did I come here? It's illogical. The third thing that the impatient heart is destructive. Get this, Luke 15:16, the prodigal son. So he went out and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods as pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. His impatience led him to rock bottom. Rock bottom. See, he had an adversary, but he didn't know who it was. Just like we have an adversary, and we may not know who it is. I want to take you guys to the greatest cartoon ever made, Scooby-Doo. All right, the plot of every Scooby-Doo episode is there's a guy with a mask, a ghost or a monster. And at the end, you're on the edge of your seat the whole time to know who it is. Who is behind the mask, okay? Who is the villain here? Who's the adversary? And they go, and like this, there is always this big reveal. Well, I want to tell you, I have found who my adversary is. I know who's causing all of my problems. You want to see him? Here we go. This is who it is. Me. I am my own adversary. I am the cause of all of my problems. That's exactly what the prodigal son learned. He said that he realized that it was him and him alone that had destroyed his life. What would your life be like, people? What would your life be like if you could eliminate all of your self-inflicted injuries? What would your life be like if you were not your own adversary? If you could eliminate your own mistakes? What would your life be like? Well, here's the good news. For all of you that understand that you and you alone are your biggest adversary, that you and you alone are the villain in your life, you and you alone have gotten yourself where you are, there is good news for you. Is that God wants to change your entitled, illogical, destructive heart. He wants to change it. Look at what happens here in verse 17. I love this. This is one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture, and I can't tell you how fired up I am to tell you about it. Check this out. When he came to his senses, I wish everyone would underline that in their Bible. Just underline that. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will go set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. Beautiful. When he came to his senses. Look what's missing in the prodigal son now. Entitlement, gone. No longer claiming his rights. He just says, "Make me like one of your hired hands, because my gosh, they got it good. Gosh, my father is such an amazing person. Even his servants are doing great. And I was a son. How great did I have it? What an amazing man my father is what's going on here. Entitlement's gone. What else is gone? Lack of logic, it's gone. He says, "I'm starving to death. I had it really good. In fact, the servants have it really good. I had it even better." Self-destruction is gone. He says, "I've sinned. It's on me. I'm the guy behind the mask, so I am going home. I'm not going to destroy myself anymore. I'm not going to do this to myself anymore. I just want to go home." Came to his senses. What a beautiful thing. He realizes what his impatience got him. He fell for Satan's substitute. He traded what he wanted most for what he could have now. But Satan didn't plan on him coming to his senses. See, that's where Satan always messes up, y'all. Whenever Satan tempts us and destroys us, he takes a gamble. He bets money that we won't come back, that we won't return home, that we won't repent and return to God. He bets that instead of that, instead of doing what the prodigal son does, what he bets is that we do what Proverbs 19:3 says. Proverbs 19:3 says, "A person's own folly leads to their ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord." I'm going to read that again. "A person's own folly leads to their ruin, but yet their heart rages against the Lord." You've seen this, so have I. Some of you may be doing it right now, right in this very room, some of you may be doing it. Your entitled, illogical, self-destructive heart has led you to rock bottom, and you're raging against God. You're raging against people. You're raging against the church. You're raging against the Bible. You're raging against pastors. You're raging against parents or spouses or bosses, whatever you can find to blame your life on. That's what Satan's betting on. That's why he does what he does. He hates prodigal son stories. He hates it when you come to your senses and realizes how great God is, how much better home is, how much more wonderful things are in a relationship with God. He wants you off raging like a fool at your situation in life that you've created for yourself. So you have two choices. When you're at rock bottom, when impatience has destroyed you. Luke 15:17 or Proverbs 19:3. You can come to your senses and go home, or you can rage against God and people and the church and life. Take a guess. which one does better. Today's main thing is a true picture of a person is what they do when things don't go their way. Is that things weren't going the way the prodigal son wanted them to go. Weren't moving fast enough. Wasn't getting his inheritance fast enough. So he showed us who he truly was. Entitled, illogical, self-destructive. No patience. No patience. But a little later, when things weren't going his way in the foreign land, he showed us who he truly was again. Willing to learn. Willing to admit failure. Not entitled. Not illogical. Not self-destructive. He showed us he was a man. Just wanted to go home. And things didn't go his way. He showed us what he truly was. What are you today? Because when things don't go your way, you're going to show us who you truly are. I'll invite the band. Come on back up. And as the band is coming up, I want to leave you with this. Church, be patient. Allow the Holy Spirit to develop patience within you. Let's get rid of the entitled, illogical, destructive heart within us that causes us so much pain. Scripture says that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and never faint. They will walk, never grow weary. Those that wait upon the Lord. Those who are patient. The true picture of a person is what they do when things don't go their way.